following is a message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, I probably should have done this earlier, but welcome to Living Waters Church. For those of you that are with us online, it's good to have you here with us and good to have you here in the room. We are in the Christmas season, and we are focusing this month on the names of Jesus. And I'm really believing that although that seems like a very Christmassy thing to do, I really believe that there's something in this for this time, whether it was Christmas or not, that this is a time when he's calling us to focus on who Jesus is. And there's something that we can understand about who he is when we look at all of the different ways that he was called. The truth is that when we know someone's name, when we know their title, it helps us to know two things. It helps us to know a lot of things, but two of the things that helps us to know is one is how they're going to relate to us, right? So my kids, if they know me by the name Mom, that tells them something about how I'm going to relate to them. It also helps to inform how they're going to relate to me, because I'm the mom, right? And so you may know me as Renee, and that means you probably won't relate to me like a mom, I would hope, mostly. That when we know someone's name, then the different ways that we call them, it helps us to understand how they're going to relate to us and how we should relate to them. And so as we look at the different names of Jesus, it stirs in us, oh, that's how he relates to me. And this is how I'm going to respond to that. Another thing is that to know someone's name oftentimes tells us something about their nature. Not so much now, but there was a day when children were named with characteristics of their nature or something about, you know, even in the Native American culture, they would name, or in the Hebrew culture, they would name a child based on the circumstances surrounding their birth. Or they would name the child based on some characteristic of that they knew that child would have, that God had spoken. And so there's something about knowing the names of Jesus that says this is the characteristic of who Jesus is. And we see all throughout Scripture, both kind of the way that God is defined and the way that Jesus is defined by different names. This is one of my favorite things in studying the Word, is to look at what name for God is being used in this verse. You may not always notice it, but there's different places. So sometimes he's referred to as God. Sometimes he's referred to as Lord God. Sometimes he's referred to as Lord, and it's like all capital letters, but it's capital L and then capital O-R-D, but they're smaller letters. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. Not all the Bibles have it, but most of the Bibles have it. And that's because it's a different name for Lord in the Hebrew than it was when it's just Lord, L-O-R-D. It's so cool. I know I'm kind of a geek that way. But what's really cool about it is to look at where was the first time that name for God was used and what was the circumstances surrounding that. Because then it helps us to know something more about the character of God, and when he shows up as that name, how does he show up and what are the circumstances showing up, or that he's showing up in that way? And so as I'm looking at the names of Jesus, and hopefully you're taking some time outside of Sunday mornings to kind of press into that as well, as you're looking at different names of Jesus to look at where did he show up as that name? Was that something he was prophesied as in Isaiah? And then over here in the New Testament, somebody said, yes, that's who he is. Or is that what Simon Peter called him when Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" You know, to look at where that comes into play, because it helps us to understand a greater depth about that name. That's what's so cool about the Word, about studying it. You know, knowing all of that background doesn't necessarily change the meaning of what we understand in that scripture. It just gives a greater depth to our understanding of that. And I feel like as we're looking at the names of Jesus, what he wants to give us is a greater depth of understanding of who he is, that we would see him more completely. I believe that the more we know him, the more we know about him, about his names and who he is, the more we can see him, the more we know him, the more completely we love him. We see more about him, and there's more of our hearts that turn towards adoration towards him, towards recognizing who he really is as that influence in our lives, as that being, as that person in our lives. And so I just think you can't do enough of that, because it helps us every time we go back, every time we go through the Christmas story, and we hear, "His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Every time we hear those declarations, I've not one time gotten to that and gone, "Yeah." Because something comes alive in us, the depth of what that means, especially if we'll take the time to just stop and to consider who he is, to look at the facets of who he is in that. So that is what I've been steeped in lately, is looking at all the names of Jesus. And when we talked about having this sermon series, we said, okay, then we can each pick a name to focus on. And we already know how I handle choices, because we've talked about it before, that more choices means it's hard for me. So I'm thinking, all these names of Jesus, I have to choose one to focus on. So chances are I probably will not only talk about just one name of Jesus today. I'm going to break my own rule that I created, saying, let's each pick one. So we're going to just see a little bit more about who Jesus is. I just want to pray. I want to pray because, sorry, you can open your eyes. I always do that to you. I want to pray because I want to make sure we're all on the same page as we're praying together. I want to pray because I can talk and share from what I understand in the names of Jesus, but what I really, really want when I'm ever talking about anything is that we would experience him, and that I can't create. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So I just want to invite him in that way. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're already here. And we thank you that we're already experiencing you in our time of worship as we lift up the name above all names. But I just pray that you would breathe on my words this morning, that as we explore and examine and exalt who Jesus is, that you would help us to experience more of who he is. That who he is would not just be something that we look at, but that it would be something that begins to flow through us in a different way. So we just open our hearts right now. We open them as a channel to receive a flow of who Jesus is, to flow through us by your Spirit. We just ask that you would make this come alive inside of us in the way that we experience God and in the way that others experience God through us as we leave today. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you are, and we want to experience every part of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I believe that every name of Jesus is an answer to a cry in the hearts of mankind. That every name of Jesus meets a need that we have. And so when we see him in these different ways, what we're seeing is he is everything. When we, you know, how can he be the Lamb of God and the glory of the Lord? How can he be the humble Savior, servant King, and the one who's sitting at the right hand of the throne? There's all of these different aspects that we see. And I believe that these different names for Jesus, that in God's wisdom, it helps us to connect with the reality of who he is. But ultimately, every time it comes down to, he is everything we need. He fulfills, he is in all, he is our all in all. It's another name for Jesus. And so when we see that, it's a response to the cry of our hearts and the need that we have. We see in his encounter with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, that he said to her, I am the living water, and if you drink from me, you'll never thirst again. And so here's another way that we can look at him and go, okay, he's living water. He fills us. He refreshes us. He's essential for life. And he's telling her, I'm the one you need. And if you remember in that encounter, he in our view, kind of calls her out when he says, tell your husband to come. And she says, I don't have a husband. He says, no, you have five. And the guy you're with isn't your husband. And he's not shaming her. Do you know what he's doing? He's saying, do you see how none of that can fill you? All of those that love that you run to in men, that's not filling you, but I am the living water. And if you drink from me, you'll never thirst again. You'll be completely filled. And so I feel like every single name of Jesus is fulfilling in us. It's telling us, I'm the one that you'll be fulfilled in. The problem we have is when we don't recognize our need or when we try to fill that need with something else. And so one of the things for me, when I'm feeling that, you know, that sense of, I just need something, and we all have things that we run to. I mean, I know you all run to Jesus, but I don't always go there first. And so we run to things, and you know what? Even like even honestly, even books about Jesus sometimes is my thing that I'm running to. Do you know what I mean? Or even worship, and worship is good, and I'm not saying don't go to worship. I'm just saying sometimes we're running to something, but we're not really running to Jesus to let him fill us and drinking of him, the living water. Or he says, I'm the bread of life. And we're eating of other things. We have hunger, and I believe the hunger is God-inspired. I believe this is a time that we're feeling hungry, and it's uncomfortable. It's how many of you get hangry when you're hungry? Yeah. It's like that irritated, nobody can say anything right, and you get to this point where you just need to eat. And I feel like we are spiritually getting to that place where this sort of irritation and this frustration, because we're hungry, and we're hungry to be filled with the one who is everything to us. And I even believe that God is allowing that hunger to be stirred. And I think some of us are like trying out other things, like, well, maybe I just need to do this, or maybe I just need to do this. And what we need is the bread of life and the living water. We need to press into the reality of who he is right now, and to focus on him and to feast on him and to be fulfilled in him. And we can do that in just about any place of need that we have, because he has a response to all of those needs in one of his names. He has a response to that peace, and he wants to fill us in that. And I believe, again, I'm so grateful for the hunger. I think we've talked about this before, but if you've been sick, one of the symptoms of wellness is that you want to eat again, right? You know, oh, I don't have an appetite. That's a thing lately. Yeah, I'm feeling better, but I still don't have an appetite. because you're not fully well yet. But there's something that God's stirring in us of hunger so that we will go after that. So here's one of the areas that I'm hungry in the Lord, and it probably won't surprise you. But one of the name of Jesus that I want to focus on today is Jesus the teacher. And I really tried not to, because it's so predictable. But I just have to. I just feel like there's just something that the Lord's showing me in that that I wanted to bring to us today. And I believe, even if you're not me, that, and even if you're not that personality type, that there is a longing in all of us for a teacher. There is a longing in all of us to be taught the ways of God. We see in Psalm 86:11, David saying, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth." And there's a hunger in this time. This is every time I see truth in the word right now, I pay attention, because there's a hunger for truth right now. And there seems to be sort of a lack of it out there. But that's what's making people hungry for it. And so I believe that God's stirring in people, in us as the body, but in people, a hunger for truth. And there's going to be a place where people say, "Teach me your ways, God, because I need some truth." It's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. In Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5, he says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait all the day." This is the cry of my heart right now. Show me your ways, God. Because I think a lot of us are walking a path that is unfamiliar to us right now. I'm certainly walking a path that's unfamiliar as it relates to stepping into a new role as lead pastor. I've never walked this path. And I'm going, I need to know your way in this. I need to know your way in this time. When we become a parent, sometimes we go, okay, this is a path I haven't walked. I need to know your way in this path. I need to be taught by you in this. And I think in this time of history, in what's not history yet, but it will be, in this time that we're living, that will be history, that there is a cry in us saying, this does not look familiar. I need you to teach me your way so that I can walk the path the way that I'm meant to walk. And so we need Jesus to come as the teacher. I love Jesus the teacher. And part of it is because I'm a really good student. I just am. It is something, there's something in me that just loves the process. I love school supplies and new notebooks and the whole thing and tests and all of that. And so there's something that just connects to me with Jesus the teacher, because I love to be taught. I was telling someone the other day that, you know, something didn't go quite the way that it should. And I was like, it's okay. It's an opportunity for me to learn something new. I love that. The opportunity is there that I get to learn something new. And I think even if you're not crazy like me, there is a longing in us to be taught of the Lord. There's a longing that he's put in us to be taught. And I believe that this is a season where there is an invitation going out to be taught by him in a different way, in a deeper way. He's calling us into a deeper kind of discipleship in this season to be taught by him. Let's look at, I think, I'm going to go to Mark chapter 4. So This is where we see evidence of Jesus the teacher. It's all over the place in his ministry. But in chapter 4 it says, "And again he began to teach by the sea," because that was a common occurrence that he would teach. "And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and he said to them in his teaching," I'm going to stop there. We'll come back to what the teaching was. But here's what we see every time we encounter Jesus in these stories where he's teaching. There's a multitude gathered. We see over and over again that, you know, there's so many people there that he has to get out into the sea in the boat, and they're all out on the shore so that they can teach her. They're pressing in on him in the house that he's in. Everybody's pressing in because they want to hear the teaching of Jesus. That there was a hunger for the words of Jesus. There was a hunger to hear what he would say. And there was a hunger because it wasn't just the words of Jesus, but the demonstration of the words. There was power in what he was doing. And this was Jesus the teacher. We see him over and over again with crowds gathering around him. And the reason I believe that there was such a hunger is because his words were life. His words were words of life. And we see in John 6 where Jesus had just said some kind of hard things, and so a bunch of people left him. So, you know, Jesus had his 12 disciples that were pretty, you know, they were with him, and then he had more disciples that were following him. But he had said some hard things, and so a bunch of them left him, and he said to his disciples, the 12, "Do you want to leave me too?" And Peter said, "Where would we go? You have the words of life." And I think all of us have probably had some moments like that in our lives where things don't add up to us and we don't understand and we're thinking, "What are you doing, God, saying this or doing this?" Or, and there's a part of you that goes, "I don't know," but there's something in you that goes, "But where would I go? Because you have the words of life." And I think of that for these disciples, the 12, like, what a tough choice that was. When Jesus wasn't doing the popular thing, when Jesus wasn't doing the easy thing, to stay under his teaching and to continue to say, there's no other teacher that has the words of life. And so I'm with you. I'm here. I don't understand what it means to drink your blood or eat your flesh. I really don't think I'll like it. But you have the words of life, and I'm with you. And so that's the invitation to us as well, that there's times when we have to just stay under the teaching of Jesus, even when it's not the popular thing. So I believe, though, that we are coming into a season when the teaching of Jesus is going to draw multitudes again. I believe, I can see people flocking to the teaching of Jesus because we're beginning to see the difference between life and death in our society in a different way. We're beginning to see the difference between light and dark in our society in a different way. And it's going to cause people to flock to the words of life. That's a very exciting thing for me, because I'm excited to come into a season where the teaching of Jesus is going to begin to be released with life and with power, and that people are going to be hungry for it. And I believe that it's going to start in the body of Christ first, that there's something that's stirring in us to be taught again the words of life. There's something that's stirring in us that wants to pursue that. And it's going to be in us and in our homes. And it's going to be, I know that we're going to have people that are looking for that, that are looking for the teachings. I've been hearing testimonies of people that are meeting with different people in business, and they're they're all of a sudden they're going, could we study the word together? And so they're meeting with people in the marketplace and just studying the Bible because there's a hunger for it. And there's a desire. They're meeting once a week and they're saying, could we meet twice a week? And that's an exciting thing for me to start to see the rumblings of that there is a hunger for the word. There's a hunger to know the words of Jesus. There, right now, the statistics say that this is the most Bible illiterate generation. But I believe that that's about to change. I believe that we're coming into a place where we recognize the weightiness of the words of God and that there's a hunger for that and that we're going to begin to see that shift, that we're coming into this next generation is going to be drawn as the multitudes around the word of God and around the person of Jesus Christ. So we see Jesus in the New Testament as the teacher. And in that time, we need to just for a second take ourselves out of our mindset of what a teacher is as it relates to how we understand it. Because in that context, Jesus was called teacher as rabbi. And the educational context was totally different. For us here, we think teacher, classroom, information, transfer of information. But teacher, rabbi, Jesus as a teacher, what he stepped into was the position of a rabbi, like the best rabbi. And that culture that knew him as teacher had this concept of a teacher-student relationship that was rabbi-disciple, or rabbi-talmud is what they called it. And it was intense. And it wasn't about the transfer of information. It was about transformation. And so what would happen is a rabbi, people would come to the rabbi and they would ask, please let me be taught by you. And what that would mean is that they would give up everything else to now not just learn what the rabbi knows, but to learn to be just like the rabbi. This is the context that Jesus was called teacher. That they would then walk with the rabbi, and the goal of that relationship was not just the transfer of information, but that people would begin to know, oh, you are the disciple of this rabbi because you walk like him, because you dress like him, because you talk like him. And that is the context of teacher, that in that intense relationship, that they would become exactly like the rabbi. Before a student would commit to being the student of a rabbi, they had to make a decision that everything else in life was second to the rabbi. That's why when Jesus said, come and follow me, he wasn't asking like, hey, come out and hang out with me for a little while. For Peter, it meant leave your business and your wife and come and walk with me. I'm not purporting either of those things or proposing even either of those things. But I am saying that we need to, when we say Jesus is my teacher, we know this is how he's going to relate to me, and now this is how my response is going to be. And my response is everything else comes second to the relationship between me and my teacher. And everything, I don't want to just know what he knows. I don't want to just know what his names are. I want to have transformation happen in my life because I'm walking with him on a daily basis. They ate together, they walked together, they slept together, they bathed together, they studied together. That was the relationship between a student and a rabbi. And so when we're saying Jesus is my teacher, that doesn't mean we sit and listen to a few nice words from him each day. It means my entire life is dedicated to learning the way of this teacher and to learn to walk with him in such a way that someone would go, oh, your rabbi is Jesus, because you walk like him, and you talk like him, That's what he's calling us into. The difference, so there's a lot of similarities between how, you know, Galilee was actually the most religiously Jewish place. I think sometimes we, because of some of the scripture, we think they were not well versed, or they were, you know, they talk about Galileans almost like they were hillbillies or something. But the reality is they were the most religiously Jewish place on the planet at the time. And all of their education was around this rabbi-student experience. But only a few got to have a rabbi-disciple relationship the way that we're talking here, where a rabbi would say, yes, you can walk with me and you can learn my way. And almost never, I won't say never because I don't know for sure never, but almost never did the rabbi call the student and say, come and walk with me. What would usually happen is the student would beg and beg and beg and have to prove that he was worthy, and then the rabbi would say, yes, you can come and walk with me. But look at the way that Jesus called his students. Every single one of them, he called them and said, hey, come and follow me, and invited them into that intense relationship. And he's inviting us into that. Not only that, but he invited the most unlikely people. In that day, only those that had done really, really well in the under school or whatever, there's a name for it, I can't remember what it is right now. They had these different levels of school, and only those that had done really well and were from certain families, and they got to walk and learn of the rabbi. But he's saying to us, even those of us that we don't feel like we're qualified, he's saying, come and walk with me in this relationship and learn of me and let me be the teacher. And he's calling us into that. And he wants to not just teach us the words, but to walk in the same kind of power that he walked in. There were rabbis in that day. They weren't drawing crowds the way that Jesus was. One, because he had the words of life, but two, because he had the demonstration of the words. He both taught, but he also demonstrated. He taught on love, he demonstrated love. He taught on healing, he demonstrated healing. He taught on the glory of God, and he demonstrated the glory of God. And this is what he's inviting us into. This teacher-student relationship where we give all that we are to walk with him, but he gives us all that he is. And that we get to walk with that. Now you don't think Jesus the teacher is so boring, right? But I believe he's stirring in us the heart to do that. This is what I want to encourage us with. We don't have to trump that up. If you're right now, if you're saying, because I'm telling you, I'm not all the way there. It looks like I'm all the way there, but I'm not all the way there yet. In this, I'm not hungry enough yet. I'm not hungry enough for the words of life. But I am crying out to God that I would become hungry enough. And I want to encourage you, you don't have to trump that up. He is stirring a hunger in us. What I am asking is that when we feel that hunger start to stir, we know where to go. And we know that we go to one of these names of Jesus to fulfill that place, that we step into that. That when we start to feel that irritable hunger in us, that lack or that lack of fulfillment, that we would go to him as the teacher and say, okay, what path am I on? What are we eating today? Amen? So, Lord, we thank you that you are inviting us to be students of yours. We thank you for Jesus, the teacher. We thank you that Jesus, the teacher, is also the glory of God. And that's one of the things that he's schooling us in this day. We thank you for the words of life in your written word and in your word to us right now in the moment. And we want to submit ourselves to that.
We just say yes to the hunger. We say yes to thirsting. We thank you for your word that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. Lord, I just say I can't even be hungry on my own. I need your spirit to even stir hunger in me. So God, I just ask for us as a body that you would stir hunger, that you would stir a thirst, that you would stir a desire to be taught the ways. We thank you for the dissatisfaction in all other teaching except the teaching of Jesus and who he is that transforms us. We just say yes to that, God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit doing the work of stirring a hunger in us. And we say yes to your invitation to follow you wholeheartedly. We don't even know what that looks like yet. But we want to say yes to you, Jesus, because you're worthy. We thank you for your invitation. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. To learn more about us, please visit livingwatersmn.org.